Jake, do you want to stop? Should we stop recording on our side as well?
Yeah, you get puff. You literally just beat me to the clap, Jake.
My first rodeo.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the next stage. I'm Toby Vince, and I will be your host for yet another episode. I'm not a liar, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not a liar. And I was like, with Not Blood Sisters, Call Me Suicidal, our last episode, I was like, that's the last one. We've had a lovely run with the Edinburgh Fringe seasons. Guess what? I'm back for another one. No, but honestly, I kid you not, by request, these guys I cannot turn down. We have today Juliet and Jake. They are director and actor producer from Baked Shakespeare. They're a South African company. They are going to be at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival performing As You Like It with a rather unique twist on how they do Shakespeare. You guys are in for a treat. Take a listen. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the next stage. Today, we are joined by Juliet and Jake, two of the company Baked Shakespeare performing As You Like It at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Hi, you there.
How's it going? Thanks for having us,
Hey.
man.
No, of course. The pleasure's mine. How are you both doing today?
Yeah, we're surviving. We're doing good. We're not used to this weather, but we're
Oh,
doing.
honestly, you would think that like you're in the rainforest, wouldn't you? But just without the forest part, just rain.
You
Yeah.
Yep.
Listen, we're going to dive straight into things. Something that we've
Awesome.
been doing with all of our companies and artists who have been on the series, we've been kind of getting a grasp as to how fringe theatre affects them. So I'll pose this question to the both of you to begin with. What does fringe theatre mean to you?
I think for me, like I've done a lot of work on the fringe in South Africa, and what I love about it is the, well, yes, it does end up costing quite a lot. There's this idea of it being a little bit more equal access for more people and more productions, not as much as it should be, definitely. But there's something about the sort of indie side of theatre culture that I find very exciting. Like it's not, the West End or the Broadway, which I love, but it's something that allows space for meeting so many more artists who are doing things that could become like the next big thing, and being there like on the ground is just very exciting. There's like young life there,
Yeah, also, yeah, just like fringe theater, the way I see it, is just like an amazing creative incubating space. It's not quite mainstream, so there's so much room for anything to go. And growing up going to fringe festivals myself in South Africa, that was the kind of stuff that I tended to draw to rather than watching like the mainstream musicals and stuff like that. Not to take anything away from that, but I've always enjoyed like the creative input that's gone into fringe programs.
If we think about it from a processing perspective, shall we say, a lot of people forget that these massive shows, not just in the UK, but I think I can safely assume South Africa, America, rest of the world, they probably started at the Fringe Festival. You know, that it's not just a place to demonstrate new work. It's also like a testing ground and somewhere where quite literally the next hits of the world could be found. With Edinburgh especially, that's for comedy. You know, some of the big names in UK comedy, even now they don't miss Edinburgh because that's probably your biggest chance of the year to garner audiences and test out new material.
Yeah, it wasn't like Monty Python also found in Edinburgh?
Possibly I'd have to do a
I
quick
think
Google in the
it
break,
was.
but you know what? With the conviction you said that, I think I'll
I
just
think it
believe you
was.
though. I'll
Jake
trust
does say a
you.
lot of things with conviction.
Yeah, you know,
Not always right.
I'm
you
an
could say you strike me as the
actor.
sort of person that could sell a steak to a vegan, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, let's talk about Baked Shakespeare a little bit, shall we? So, just to clarify, Baked Shakespeare is the name of the company,
Yeah.
but you are performing a version of As You Like It. So give us some insight into Bait Shakespeare as a company. How did the idea form, and what were the early stages of creating the company like?
So basically, we started Bait Shakespeare in 2021. This was mostly because I really had no work coming my way during COVID. And coming out of COVID, I was still a university student and I wasn't getting auditions from my agent. And it was kind of a stage where I was like, shit, well, the world's just at a standstill. Where do I go from here? And I kind of got a few friends to take a risk on me and jump onto this concept that I'd been working on with a few colleagues of mine. And we kind of decided to put together this informal show. We got a student director involved and then a dramaturge who was also one of the people at our university. And well, basically, we started performing at this place called the Olympia Cafe in Cork Bay. And the reason why I knew Bait Shakespeare worked was because despite of all the restrictions of COVID, there was literally no theater spaces going on. There was no shows in Cape Town, yet we sold out every performance. And we only did 6 shows, but the concept stood for itself. And now the concept of Bait Shakespeare is that this is an interactive theater experience where we kind of adapt Shakespeare to just be a little bit more shortened and simplified so that we can access an audience demographic of 18 to 35-year-olds.
Still respecting Shakespeare and engaging with it because I'm a big Shakespeare nerd. I have multiple Shakespeare-themed tattoos.
No, we love Shakespeare. Yeah. And the crux is that the audience choose 2 actors to be the stoners of the night. And the audience interaction comes in where they get to stop the show 5 times, kind of forcing the actors to intake more cannabis and get progressively baked throughout the show. That's where the baked Shakespeare comes from. So super exciting concept. And yeah, we've been doing really well. We've become a licensed company in the last 3 years and we kind of just sell licenses throughout the world. So this is probably not the last time you'll hear about Bait Shakespeare.
No, I doubt it. And it's really, and as a concept as well, it's very, it's not something I've heard of personally. So you've definitely got a really good niche on the Shakespeare game. I also think generally as Shakespeare's performances go, I think the key to making them work is knowing how to reinvent them to make it true to you as performers and as a company, you know? I think there was a statistic that before COVID, there hadn't been a Shakespeare play not being performed in the world for over maybe 100, 200 years.
Yeah. Like,
only because it's free.
That too, yes. The licensing agreements are a bit nicer with Shakespeare. But you catch my gist. It's easy to take the text and think, okay, how are we going to make this into the format that suits you? And in this case, you've gone for As You Like It. Now, this isn't your first. This isn't your first Bait Shakespeare production, is it? What was the first one you went for?
We went with Much Ado About Nothing.
Okay, why did you go for that one, would you say?
I just really liked the show at the time. In hindsight, with the current trajectory that we've taken with Bait Shakespeare and the audience demographic that we've now got, Much Ado About Nothing was probably not the right show to do.
I didn't direct the first one. It was the difference between a male director and a queer female director.
It's such a male-centric play, and most of our audience actually happens to be women, I found. So it's we kind of now focus still on comedies, but I just really liked the dry humor of Much Ado About Nothing. I thought it was really funny. But now we kind of focus on shows that have that open up an LGBTQ space and look at queer identity and playing with sexualism with all of that. Juliet definitely brought a lot of that in and I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, I just came in here and I was like, okay, it just has to be more woman and more queer, more diverse. So the second show that we did was Twelfth Night, which is one of my favorite ever Shakespeare's in the whole wide world. And one of the gender bendy ones. Then when we had to choose another one, I was like, So what if we do the other one?
No, because we'll get a bit more onto the plot of As You Like It in a second. I'm quite curious though about the baked format, shall we dub it? So, you know, we've talked a bit about how we reinvent Shakespeare to make it more suitable for you as a company and thus the audiences that you tailor to. I want to just point your attention to the rise of drunk theatre, right? So, you know, it's similar formatting, right? Where cast members, maybe audience members too, but cast members definitely, you know, have a bev, have a drink before or during the performance, and hilarity ensues. And that's definitely a thing with Shakespeare. You know, what would you say with that in mind?
It was a huge inspiration for me. I think I think
I'd already, because I'd been to England before and I'd been to New York and I'd seen the shit-faced drunk Shakespeare and this drunken Shakespeare. I'd seen both of them already before I even started Big Shakespeare. So they were huge inspiration points. But when I wanted to do something similar to that, because I love Shakespeare so much, I thought this isn't going to work in a South African context because we have so many problems of alcohol in our country, abuse and addiction. But when you think about something like cannabis, this doesn't really instill a sense of violence. It has a sense of freedom and it's fresh. It's a growing, budding industry behind it. And so I thought cannabis in our context would be a great space to grow our concept in. Also, we're very different from drunken and shit-faced Shakespeare because we perform full Shakespeare plays. Although we shorten them to focus on the main protagonists, we don't leave space for like improv and like random stuff like that. We get through the story and we pride ourselves on really having a show that can stand for itself. The baked element comes from bringing in a younger demographic, creating great events where we can bring in cool clothing companies, cannabis brands, and music into our shows. And so we kind of use that as a crutch to lift off into a market.
But what I also think makes it very funny, and I think like there's space for everything, but the reason that I love what Baked Shakespeare does is that we create a good show. Like, we create a show that's strong, stands by itself. So when the fuck-ups happen because people are super baked, it's much more entertaining because everyone around them is taking everything so seriously.
Yeah, and they've been rehearsing. Stakes are so high.
They've been rehearsing for a really long time to do a really good show. So the mess-ups are much more entertaining.
And that's where the improv ends up coming in, because you've rehearsed your blocking so well that when the person who gets intoxicated is unable to keep to that, then everybody's performance kind of changes. And that's where the true uniqueness of the show comes, because I find myself as a performer also in the show. Every night I'm exploring new avenues and I see the world in a new way, because new characters are always putting something different into the world.
I love that. And, you know, I'm just kind of sat here imagining Orlando completely off his head.
And that's amazing.
And to be honest, you know, I've seen As You Like It a couple of times, and it's a really nice thought, because the thing is, you're not also just thinking about all that, like, it couldn't be Orlando. It could be someone, oh gosh, I'd have to get my big book of Shakespeare out for the characters, but like,
it could be Touchstone, it could be Audrey, it could be Celia, it could be Rosalind. Ooh.
Yeah, it could be just about anyone. There's I think that's what keeps it like as a genre very fresh and very interesting. I think something that a lot of theatre makers are trying to do currently is make sure that no two shows are the same, and by giving audiences that option to be a bit more in control of the narrative, you have, well, I say of the narrative, but you get what I mean. To give audiences that chance to interact with the show, it, like you say, it makes it more interesting, not just for audiences but for performers alike.
Yeah, and what's cool is, like, in Cape Town we did As You Like It We did a lot of shows. And the idea of a returning audience to see the same thing again is something that I think theatre's been trying to figure out. And there are a lot of shows, you know, the immersive things, people go back, improv people go back. But we were getting returning audience members because they were like, oh, okay, this night I saw Orlando and Celia baked, but I would really love to see Touchstone and Rosalind baked, you know? So we had returning audience members, which I think is something that's quite exciting in a theatre format when you have to have something to compete with like a computer and someone's bed, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think what that does for us is it develops a fan base. And we have Shakespeare companies in South Africa, but none of them have a fan base or a following like Big Shakespeare. And I think the concept gives testament to how it opens up theatre to the new age of viewers.
I love that. And with As You Like It as a play, we've touched upon the LGBTQ themings of the work, mm-hmm. but how did you land on that specifically? And why did you want the concept behind Baked Shakespeare to be implemented into this work specifically?
We almost did Midsummer Night's Dream actually first. It's just, look, like ideally it's really good, but it's just, it's so many characters in that show and it's just ridiculous. And the text in As You Like It is also very, it's kind of simple to understand. Mm. It's not so rhythmic. It's not so lyrical like Midsummer Night's Dream.
Like I think only two characters speak in iambic pentameter the whole time. A lot of it is very like prosaic, which I enjoy. It makes it much easier to sort of bring people in if characters aren't speaking in rhyme the whole time. But apart from that, I do just like, I like the gender bendy thing, and I'd already done 12th Night. And if we weren't going to do Midsummer, might as well do something that's in a forest. And like, it's just also it's very beautifully written. And it's one of those shows that people don't really know until you say it's got all the world's a stage monologue.
And it's silly.
It's so silly. And it's got songs. So what we do is we do the songs, but we set them to like modern melodies, because that's what Shakespeare actually did with his songs in his plays, is he set them to like popular songs of the time. So we have little bits of singing and Kari. And so we wanted a show that had a lot of songs in it. It's just real gay, which I like. And very feminism-y vibes, which I like.
I also like the play because it's very fast-paced. The story just rolls like a sitcom. Mm. It moves and it moves and it moves. And there's no like, I never feel like the story kind of takes like a stagnated dip, like a dramatic dip. It kind of just moves at a pace that's really palatable for the kind of people that we're trying to reach.
Like an early 2000s rom-com combined with a soapy. Like,
I love that. That's a great analogy. And I mean, well, what about rehearsals then for the show? How are they going? Tell us a little bit about how you've prepared for the festival with the rehearsals happening right now.
So, we only have two of our South African cast members here, which is Jake and Laura, who is playing Rosalind, because I would have died if I had to direct a new Rosalind in a couple of weeks. And we put out some casting calls before we came to the UK. We did all casting online, and we found an amazing, amazing group of performers. Like in South Africa, we have a bit of a company that's developed, like the same actors do multiple shows.
Which we love dearly.
And we love them. It's like a family. It's creating a theatre company. And I think, at least in South Africa, we don't have a lot of, here's a theatre company. If you're part of this company, when we do a show, you get first option. And that's something that we're trying and wanting to develop in the UK. I'll go back to South Africa, get another director, get UK-based people, and keep the actors that you have in the first one and use them again and again, and sort of create a little family, which makes the stage dynamics amazing.
Yeah. We didn't have a lot of time to put the show on. We only had about 15 days of rehearsals, which is the least amount of time that we've ever done it before, but everyone's really stepped up their game, and we've come a long way. And
I've directed the show already. Yeah.
We'll make the finish line very easily, I think. We're making great stead, if that's the word.
Yeah.
Listen, we have Juliet and Jake here from Baked Shakespeare. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. So we have Juliet and Jake von Bake Shakespeare here. Listen, I've got a question for you about audiences. So as an audience of a Bake Shakespeare production, as many of our listeners will be, you know, you're not only spectators of the show, we've alluded to this, but you're also given the opportunity to be participants within this. Now, you've rather affectionately called them stoners for as aforementioned reasons. Now, why do you think incentivizing audiences to participate in the action is key to performing Shakespeare, not only as a genre, but also as Bake Shakespeare works, you know?
I think as a genre, I think it makes it fun again. Shakespeare was never written to be academic. It just got turned into that by some sort of, you know, Eurocentric Western imperialism, like learn about it every year in school sort of thing. And making it fun, making it feel like people are in the pit, I think that's very important for a lot of Shakespeare now if it's going to carry on living. And Jake, do you want to speak on the Bake Shakespeare side?
Yeah, we're really just trying to break all like concepts of modern theatre that we have of people just sitting in silence in the dark and kind of like, I guess we keep the fourth wall while we perform, but like in terms of bringing the audience in, it creates a great space for, I like to use the word debauchery. We just getting people involved and they have a say in the production and in the flow of the piece, and they can therefore, like if you, only five people get a five paddle. Mm. So if you get a five paddle, then you have the power to stop the show at any
time.
Very
controlled chaos.
By lifting up and say five. And if you can, if you're sitting there and all your friends know that, okay, John's got the five paddle, then everyone is in this state of angst because it brings in a whole new level of communication to the show and a new layer of performance where they're involved too. And I think the fact that they take on that responsibility of being involved gives them incentive to really pay attention and invest themselves in the story so that they can choose the right moment. And also listen out for when somebody else is going to choose their moment. Mm. They don't want to miss out on that spontaneity.
And it's also nice because, like, you know how occasionally you're watching a show and you start going, what am I going to make for supper? I don't know. Maybe I'll do my shopping. If you ever catch yourself doing that and you happen to have a fire paddle, you can be like, I'm bored now, and you can stop it. And then that's when the actor has to come forward and we're going to say ingest cannabis. In Cape Town, it's bongs. Here, it's not. and yeah, I think it creates something much more living. And it's not the sort of cringy participate every second in the play because we don't know what we're doing sort of interaction. And any audience member can interact with it, no matter how socially anxious you are, no matter if you have a disability, because you don't have to jump up and do anything other than lift the paddle.
Because of that element, we kind of find that the feeling of the globe pit kind of really does insert itself into our shows where people maybe had a few drinks or they've come for a bit of a vibe or a party to the show, and maybe we get a couple of heckles on stage and we do kind of we don't encourage it, but we don't mind it, and it does serve the environment of the piece. And so we really create a space for people to make a noise, laugh, shout, and stand up if they have to. and it is a great vibe. It just really opens it up to a fantastic event.
Yeah, and you know, like you said earlier, Juliet, you've touched on something really important in my opinion about Shakespeare, which is that I think nowadays it's seen more as an academic thing than a performative thing. Mm. And you know, I always like to think, well, I say I like to think, you know, I don't think I coined it personally, but you know, Shakespeare was always meant to be performed and not read. You know, in school, the language is what flusters people the most rather than the action, because you can't physically see what's happening. You can't engage with what's happening. And that's why those sorts of environments, like you say, Jake, about the globe, that sort of immersion, I would say, of being like within a space where you're not just watching a show, you're a part of it. You are you're conscious that these people are in the room with you and you can interact with them because you're given license to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is so, 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 so important about keeping Shakespeare as a genre alive today, you know?
Definitely. I 100% agree with that statement.
Listen, you've both just come from a run from the National Arts Festival over in South Africa. Tell us a bit about your experience there for the show. How did it go for you? What did you learn? How are you taking your experience from it in prep for the Ed Fringe?
The National Arts Fest was fantastic. We went in with a bit of a competitive mindset, you know, because I think you have to when going into these festivals. We fly hard. We work hard to speak to all the people that we think would like to come watch our show and everybody in between. And I found that at the festival, I was going in with high expectations and we really manifested it as a team. It was fantastic. Some shows were really like, you know, you hear the horror stories of actress cries after getting one audience member, like Bake Shakespeare's audience dependent, therefore we work really hard to fill up our seats, and we did a fantastic job at that. And so tickets were sold, word of mouth was spread, awards were won, and it was a fantastic time bonding for the cast, the community that we've developed. To finish our run there that we'd been working on for 6 months was an extremely special time for our team.
Yeah.
And for the company too.
Oh yeah, and it's those moments of being in that environment where, like you say, a lot of people underestimate how much work goes into getting bums on seats, realistically. Mm. More often than not, if you walk down the street in Edinburgh, you'll probably come across five different shows being like, come see my show tonight, please, you know, and you've only got a chance to pick one. So, I mean, it's really important that, as you say, you're tactful about how well you flyer and how well you advertise the show, because as an incumbent and potential audience member, you have to be convinced that yours is the one that they want to see tonight.
Like if you're in Edinburgh, the odds are if you're drinking at 8 o'clock in the night, you're going to find me with a smile on my face in the park with a flyer going, come watch our show, buddy.
Our show is at 10:30. It's at 10:30 every night, which I think is a fun time for a show like this.
Come have a couple drinks, pull up to the show, let's have a vibration.
Yeah, one of our big things is being friends with the cast. Like, the cast doesn't just leave after the show, you know, they'll hang out at the bar with the audience, like party with everyone. And I think that's also a huge part of it, is breaking down this wall between like the actors and the audience after the show and before the show, like not just during it. You get to hang out with everyone.
Like, guys, I'm just a regular guy.
See my show.
And what would you like audiences to take away from your production of As You Like It?
Theatre can be fun.
We really just want people to walk out having detached from their stressful life for 1 hour and go, God damn it, we had so much fun there. Let's go have a pint and continue this night because we're on a really good energy right now.
Mm. Like all of the, like, you know, the little like the queer things and the feminism things, it's not like, they're just themes, you know, they're just themes that are there and it's nice. And we've had a couple of moments where it's been really lovely. Like once, like one of our actresses in Cape Town, like shouted out her girlfriend when she was hitting the bong. And she had people come up to her afterwards, like 18-year-olds, because that's our youngest audience we can have, come up to her afterwards and be like, it was so nice to know that I was watching a gay woman on stage. And that sort of thing is lovely, but it's not like we're here to tell you about like queerness and feminism and this and this and this. It's just sort of a given part of the show so that anyone can sit there and just be like, I'm enjoying myself and I feel subtly represented and that's nice, you know?
Oh yeah. And like you say, it's fun at the end of the day. It's fun.
Just
like
fun.
Like go along, have a buzz. Like it's, you know, it's, you know what you're walking into with a show like Bait Shakespeare, not a show like Bait Shakespeare, but like when you go and see a Bait Shakespeare show, you know you're going in with the expectation that it's going to be a good night. I don't get the impression that you're here to lecture audiences, you know?
No.
I get the impression that you're here to be like, okay, you just want to have the night off, you know? put yourself to a side, have the night off, and if you want a bev, if you want something a little bit stronger, you know, then do that. But but at the end of the day, this is a show that's made to entertain, and that,
and of course, to create all of that chaos and that entertainment factor, you need a strong base and a concrete backing of the show itself before we even bring in the concept. So a lot of the time we find that we spend so much time rehearsing a show without any form of cannabis, without even using the concept. And then when we get in front of the audience for the first time, we say, guys, this is the first time that we've ever done this too. Like, you're about to experience something with us for the first time. And I think, yeah, to create that calculated madness, there is so much hard work that goes behind putting together the base of the show.
Oh, yeah. And what's that like for you as an actor then? Like, what's that rehearsal style like? Where is it
yeah,
sort
what's
of...
what's like
it? Is it sort of like, you know, let's call it traditional rehearsal styles, and then you sort of have to say, right, that was that. It's, let's see what happens tonight. Is it that sort of thing that we can expect?
It's the rehearsal process is pretty traditional in the sense that we go through blocking, we polish, and then we create a production as any other rehearsal process would. But then we kind of have to, in the back of our minds, prepare for some of your ideas to, I guess, breaking down is not the right word. I'd rather say, like, because some things do fall apart on stage sometimes, but it's about how you pick that up. And as the performer who's not intoxicated, take whatever they're giving you and use it to feel the story and continue the narrative. And because it's not about you looking good, it's about you serving the concept and pushing towards the end of the show so that the audience is not bored of someone literally falling asleep on stage. And so it's also our job to enfranchise the other performers on stage so that we can work as a team to almost like a theater sports in a way to reach the end.
I love that. That's a perfect analogy to round us off. Jake and Juliet, thank you so much for coming on and speaking to us about the show. I do have to ask you, what is the next stage for Bait Shakespeare? What can we expect from you both during and after the Edinburgh Fringe Festival?
So we're on from the 21st to the 27th of August at 10:30 p.m. every single night.
For one hour.
And we're at the Gilded Balloon Paterhoos Doonstairs.
So right now our goal is to collaborate with more performers and directors and create a permanent company in the UK. We're using Edinburgh as our pilot project and our launching pad into the UK. And then our goal is, as I said in the beginning, that we're a licensed company. So we're hoping to sell more licenses throughout the world and develop Bait Shakespeare on a global scale.
And the Cape Town company being like the core sort of, like, this is where we started. We never want to be one of those companies that goes, we started in South Africa, now we're leaving and we're never looking back.
No, yeah.
That's like at its core, it's something that can also provide work and fun and enjoyment to a South African audience. But we want to sort of spread that to other audiences. And if it sort of culturally develops into like whatever country it's in or city it's in, I think that's really the goal.
And where can we find you online?
At baked_Shakespeare on Instagram and TikTok.
Wonderful stuff. Thank
you. Check it out.
That was perfect. You were like reeling it off. Let's go. We know what we're doing. Business as usual. Not the first time at the social promotion rodeo. Huh?
No.
Listen, again, Juliet, Jake, thank you so much for coming on and talking
thank
all about
you,
the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. And that was Juliet and Jake from Bait Shakespeare. As Juliet mentioned, Bait Shakespeare will be performing from the 21st to the 27th of August at the Gilded Balloon Paterhoos. It's in the Doonstairs area. Shows are going to begin at 10:30 in the evening and they will last for 1 hour. as you've heard, this is going to be a fun show. If you like Shakespeare, then you're going to love this show. If you're interested in Shakespeare, you're going to love this show. If you, to be honest, aren't really bothered about Shakespeare, but you want to get involved in a show that's just fun, this is the show for you. These two, by the sounds of it, are creating an incredible, like, dare I say, empire with this idea. And I think it's going to be something that you are going to want to follow for the time being. Get in there now whilst these guys are new and fresh on the block, so you can say, I saw these guys when they were starting out here in the UK. This has been the Edinburgh Fringe Specials. Thank you again so much for listening to our episodes. You can go back and listen to all of our episodes across the Edinburgh Fringe. It's happening right now as I speak to you. So listen, go and enjoy. Have fun at the Fringe. Support our artists. Go out and enjoy the shows whilst you're there. You might even see me there. Who knows? But listen, in the meantime, I'm Toby Vince. You already knew that. And we'll see you at the next stage.